Dynamite Download.
Special event, as you can see, SPD
for a splashing good time.
Welcome to Dynamite Download.
It's Blood and Guts week, y'all. We've been counting down the days, and it finally came. And you guys, SPD, did they deliver or what, man? AEW always comes through, man. Always.
I'm glad to see that you're rocking your QT Marshall fanboy shirt there that we got you for your birthday over the weekend. So
yeah,
looks great on you.
Thank you.
Definitely looks great. I can't wait for you to wear that when we go to Jacksonville, hopefully soon. And I'm still rocking my Inner Circle shirt, loud and proud, man.
We're repping the losers tonight.
We're repping
the losers tonight. Look at us, a bunch of losers.
Yeah, but we're all winners, though, after an outstanding show.
If you're an AEW fan, if you're a wrestling fan and you tuned in tonight, if you were noticing the buzz and the trend on social and you tuned in tonight, you did not miss out. You absolutely were treated to an epic show.
Oh my gosh.
And in typical AEW fashion, from start to finish, they were just hitting it nonstop, going, brother. Yep. Not a single minute was wasted in tonight's show. Honestly,
it really wasn't, man. It
felt like they realized, like, holy smokes, like, even with that tag team match, right? It was advertised as an eliminator match, and it ended with a single pinfall, because I feel like they recognized, wow, we have a lot that we want to get into the fans tonight, and there's only 2 hours, which you and I, SPD, we talk about that all the time. How does AEW do it? How do they fit all this stuff in 2 hours? And you just look at the overview here, man. I mean, you talk about it. You got Britt Baker, the star of the women's division, in action tonight.
The next champ.
The future champ. You saw Kenny Omega in action tonight against John Moxley in Kingston. You had Nakazawa was his tag partner. There was a lot of stuff that happened in that match to open up tonight's show. And then Kenny obviously graced us with his presence with an epic promo, an absolute barn burner. He ripped Orange Cassidy apart in that promo, and we'll get into that later tonight. But, you know, honestly, SPD, you and I are Jones, and we're not the only ones that are just absolutely geeked out about what happened to end the show tonight. Let's get into the overall match card, and then we're going to start tonight's show of Dynamite Download with that main event, because this was Blood and Guts. This was a special, epic episode of AEW Dynamite, and it really circled around that blood feud between those two stables, between the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle. But before we get there, let's get into it, man. The show started off with John Moxley and Eddie Kingston. Really,
hold on. No, it's
Jack!
Woo! Moxley. Oh man, Justin Roberts.
You're Justin Roberts. Like, your impression of him is always on point. For those fans that are new joining Dynamite Download, I can't wait for a Rey Fénix when you guys join us for a Rey Fénix match, because SPD can nail that one. Those rolling of the R's. But speaking of nailing it, man, John Moxley and Eddie Kingston absolutely nailed their matchup tonight. Really toyed with Nakazawa throughout this one. Really exerted their dominance, and in a lot of ways showed that they're ready to challenge the Young Bucks for the tag titles. And we got a taste of that post-match with those antics that got into it. But Moxley and Kingston came out on top. Wasn't surprising to me when you got to see Nakazawa and Kenny Omega going against those guys. You know, Moxley and Kingston have been chomping at the bit to get their hands on the Elite. They finally got their hands on Kenny Omega tonight, even though Kenny tried his best to stay out of the ring at times. This was a great way to start the show. You got a chance to see a lot of star power in the ring at one time.
For sure.
And obviously the post-match antics leave us wanting more.
That's right, man. And, you know, I apologize. I was looking through this graphic. I guess I was too focused on the main event. I put QT Marshall on there twice because from last week's defeating Billy. But so we'll just ignore that middle one. But speaking of QT Marshall himself, man, Cody Rhodes, you know, honestly, you know, the momentum is on Marshall's side. We'll dive deep into there. But Cody Rhodes, it was, you know, another blood feud turned, you know, pretty brutal at the end and seeing Anthony Ogogo. And, you know, I don't know if everyone else caught it, but for those of you, you know, Sharonica, you were there live. But TNT gave a warning before the show. And this was the first time we had a warning on any Dynamite that I can remember saying, you know, just more extended violence coming for this show and that the biggest crowd since the pandemic. And you could really hear the crowd. And
the crowd was into this.
So props to the crowd there, you know, AEW fan base, AEW Nation. But Cody Rhodes defeating QT Marshall, this is far, far, far from over, in my opinion.
Yeah, and one of the cool things was leading up to this one, you know, we here at Dynamite Download, you know, your guy Crayfish here has been all in on the QT Marshall and the factory. And it was cool hearing QT talk about it with Chris Van Fleet about how he wanted to kind of get in front of a large audience and hear them boo him and really rub it in the fans' faces about how much Marshall's distaste for the fans. He certainly was getting booed left and right every single time he was in the ring tonight. He really, if he was on the show twice tonight, SPD, he would have been booed left and right throughout. So that said, Britt Baker, one of the coolest things about tonight's show for me was seeing the DMD absolutely dominate, really absolutely put a beating on Julia Hart. And obviously Julia's only 19 years old, really young. Wow. Little wet behind the ears and obviously has a long way to go before she can hang with the number one contender and future champion in the AEW women's division.
Old
Britt
baby.
Baker, baby. So Britt really tore it up tonight and absolutely mm-hmm. made an emphatic victory as she heads towards Double or Nothing and finally gets a chance to go head-to-head with Sheeta.
For sure, man. Cannot wait for that. And they officially announced it, which was a nice, fun little added bit there. But, you know, after that, we saw a couple promos, which is great, but we'll stick to the in-ring stuff. But the Fatal 4-Way, you know, this was just kind of just weird to me. I mean, I'll dive in my feelings on that. But, you know, SCU obviously put that kind of, you know, bounty on their head is when they'll break up if they lose. And so, they did come out on victory, and after that promo they cut on Young Bucks the other week, and that was awesome. I was like, this is great, man. It added a ton of points to SCU for me because I was, you know, dropping down. I'm not really big fans of SCU for a while, and after that promo they cut, man, they skyrocketed for me, so it's going to be a fun match for them next week.
No
after,
doubt.
You know, play versus the Young Bucks, man. Whew.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I will say, like, that match – to me, we'll get more into it later on when we dive in deep, but it did feel like, as you always like to talk about, the writing was on the wall. Mm-hmm. SCU was the heavy favorite going into that matchup, mm-hmm. and they came out on top. So we're going to be able to see SCU go against the Young Bucks and get that tag title shot. And as SCU said earlier on in the year, if they get an L, they're mm-hmm. saying bye-bye.
That's right.
But before we get further into that, SPD, I think that everyone is buzzing. Everyone is talking about it. Those who are joining us, they want to hear us chat about it. SPD, you're rocking that Inner Circle shirt tonight. And to be honest with you, man, that match, it felt like when Jericho stepped in the cage, it did feel like Inner Circle was really dominating this match, and obviously blood was shed left and right between both teams, but there's no doubt about it, whether it was MJF, Dax, and Cash, all, like, the pinnacle was left a bloody mess after this match. And even though they came out on top, even though they walked away as the victors in this match, you as an Inner Circle fan had to feel pretty good with the way that this match was going for most of the way this battle was going out throughout this one, right?
I mean, absolutely, man. They were the dominant force. I mean, obviously, I think Pinnacle, only time they had an upper hand essentially was when they're outnumbering the crew, you know, personally. Right. So, you know, Inner Circle really dominated it. They didn't shed as much blood as the Pinnacle, in my opinion. That being said, they all shed blood for sure, you know, blood and guts. But it was a great showing by all 10 men. But in terms of in-ring dominance, definitely Inner Circle all the way. Like, they did so, they're such badasses. You know, I loved their entrance gear, you know, their jumpsuits, Santana Ortiz with the face paint, and, you know, the Rikers Island on the back. I mean, both those guys, man, there was, I mean, as expected, there's no weak link in the Inner Circle, and there's no weak link in the Pinnacle. I mean, all 10 guys looked outstanding, man. You know, Sammy starting it and just showing his stamina, you know, not being in the ring for a while. It just was awesome, man. And that springboard cutter.
That Van Terminator, to me, like, we'll get it. Let's break it down. Like, SPD, who were a couple of your standouts in this match from each side? Was there a spot or two that really jumped out at you? For me, the Van Terminator from Sammy, you mentioned Sammy. That Van Terminator, where he jumped across the ring and drop kicked that chair into Spears' face.
Oh my gosh.
That was absolutely
coast epic.
Coast to coast, baby. Showed off his athleticism. You talked about it. Sam, this was a great showcase for Sammy. Who else really stood out to you in this match?
Sammy was the number one standout for me, which could be kind of a hint for later in the show. But I don't know, man. He took that chair shot. He was doing the balancing on the top rope. He did the coast to coast, that springboard cutter, you know, the top rope balancing act that Spears and Sammy did. I mean, we've talked about it before, just the matchups that we were just like drooling to see about. That we just cannot wait. And it's going to be so fun. You know, I don't know, like, obviously Jericho took that huge bump at the end. And hopefully, I mean, hopefully everything's going to be okay with him. But this visual, just when they all got in the ring and they're just in each ring, was outstanding, man. Everything about this match, it had like the Royal Rumble feel to a Hell in a Cell kind of feel, because it's like, who's coming in next, who's going to be in next, and like all this stuff like that. The organization of it was pretty cool. Obviously, some of the camera angles were kind of difficult to follow at times, but they did a really great job.
I was going to say, I feel like they did a nice job given all the chaos that was going on in this match. Mm-hmm. Given that there was a cage outside, you know, that is obviously difficult to see through at times.
Yep.
I felt like the AEW's media in the presentation of this match, they did a really nice job of allowing the fans at home to really feel the action throughout. I didn't feel like we got lost in the chaos, which could possibly happen in a match like this. I was able to stay engaged throughout. The blood was unbelievable throughout this, the bloodshed. I also love the visual. You talked about it. I love the visual of the black jumpsuits of the Inner Circle versus the all-white championship type of vibe, the gear of the Pinnacle. Really liked that visual and allowed us as fans at home from a distance to kind of see what was going on. You got clearly, if you're wearing white trunks, you're on the Pinnacle, you're on the winning side. Yeah. And if you were wearing the black jumpsuits, you were on the Inner Circle. So I liked that. I thought that was a very nice sort of small piece that allowed us to sort of stay engaged throughout. You know, I will say, obviously, Sammy's going to get a lot of love from being starting this match out. SPD, right. There are two guys, and I know you're rocking. You and I have been going back and forth on this from day one, brother. I'm on Team Pinnacle and you're on Team Inner Circle. But there were two guys on the Pinnacle who really stood out to me tonight that I think need to get a little extra love. And this isn't you're throwing MJF out there. And I'm gonna say we're gonna get into some love for MJF later, because secret, little spoiler alert. I'm very impressed by how this show finished. I know that was a controversial finish, but I thought MJF came out looking like $1 million. For me, the Inner Circle members that really jumped out at me, the Pinnacle members that jumped out at me, Dax Harwood, man. I told you and I finally got you on board with FTR. Dax, the workhorse, workhorse of the Pinnacle. That Dax, dude, from the stamina, the blood that man shed.
First 4 minutes, he was gushing.
He felt like the glue of this match in a lot of time. And that is commonplace with whenever Dax is in the ring. I was very impressed by Dax in this one. And then I also felt like Wardlow. We've all been chomping at the bit to see Wardlow in action. And it feels like a special event whenever the Ward Dog is unleashed, right? It feels like, you know, we as AEW fans, there's so many of us that are out there just chomping at the bit, wanting to see Wardlow and see what he's capable of. There were several moments in this match that really felt like special moments where Wardlow was featured, even just when he first stepped in the ring, right? And he was on the one ring by himself, and then you slowly see Ortiz and Sammy and Santana enter the ring and try to take him on 3-on-1.
That was great.
Really beautiful imagery right there, and it really showed the dominance of Wardlow. And then even at the end, where Wardlow, I mean, they had to like throw everything they could at him. I mean, Jake Literally. Hager, they were doing everything they possibly could to take down Wardlow.
I know.
They cemented him as the powerhouse that we know he is. He felt very special in a match with 10 guys.
Yep.
Wardlow felt very special to me tonight. I felt like he really stood up and stood out in a way that is only going to further his star power going forward. So I was very impressed by the performances of those key members of the Pinnacle. That said, man, I mean, you could go across the board. Everybody in this match had their moments, right? I mean, Ortiz looked like when he came in the ring, that dude throwing the chair at Sean Spears, just kind of like he kind of jumped into this match. And that was one of my favorite entrances out of all the guys getting into the ring. I felt like Ortiz kind of brought that mad dog energy where like he finally was that dog unleashed and let him run in. And he was just going all out. I love that energy, that nastiness that Ortiz brought.
That's so good.
Honestly, and then how can you not like highlight a guy like Santana again taking the fork?
Dude, that guy is on fire, man.
I know, man.
He's so good.
A lot of like this is what I love about what I'm seeing in AEW. And again, I'm just a fan like you guys, right? But so many of the guys that I see from a casual distance, like wow, this dude's stepping it up. This guy has it. So many of those guys are getting rewarded. You see a Santana getting recognized. You see a Dax getting recognized. You know, you personally, I also feel like you're getting guys like QT Marshall who are stepping up their game.
Excuse me, Marshall.
You see a lot of guys. My guy Pac tonight got recognized as as a top contender to Kenny Omega. So you see, I feel like AEW is either they're playing to fans that pay attention to the product, wrestling fans that really love what watching this show week in and week out. We get to see the growth, the maturation of these competitors and really the rewards for the success that these guys are putting on. What an epic show this was, man. Blood and Guts. Now, SPD, there was a lot of talk about the format of this match and obviously going into it being an hour long matchup. How did it go from start to finish to you? We talked about going into it, the competitors coming in, the ending. What was your takeaways from it as far as the way this match played out and how it ended?
I really liked the format of it. I liked how everyone was ringside, and it was kind of like the captain tagging you in, like you're next, buddy. Pulling from the bullpen. I really liked that format versus like I mentioned earlier, the Royal Rumble kind of thing, like 5, 4, 3, who's going to come out next? Like running into the ring. Like that is just as exciting, but this was cool too. So you saw the point where Jericho's on the outside and MJF is yelling at him in his face. So like you got to add some more twists and turns with them being ringside and just kind of get the anticipation. You have another different level of anticipation than being ringside. So I really, really enjoyed the format. I think the 2 minutes and all that, and then the bell ringing when everyone's in there, it was organized very, very well. And I wouldn't have changed anything about that. And it's better than I expected it to be. The finish.
Let's get into the finish.
Yeah. We'll talk about the finish, and then I want to see what do you see the next step being? Like, okay. I'm curious. So the finish, I honestly, when they went up to the cage, I knew something crazy was going to happen. You know, Jericho being the godfather and the leader himself, you know, as we always said before, like he's going to take the bump. He's going to be the leader. This was a crazy visual.
Oh, great visual
on that for sure. But, you know, the way that it was, I expected kind of more of a, I love the match. There was a home run. I expected more of kind of like a, a surrender, like more of a draw, more of like a hanging by a thread. But it seemed kind of abrupt of the finish on it in a way, like, okay, whatever. Like more like, you know, thrilling or just, you know, I don't know. I didn't love how they did the full finish. I mean, the whole story of how it finished worked for sure. But I wanted more like thrilling and more anticipation and more like begging and more people crawling up the cage and getting ripped down and things like that, you know, like versus just Sammy yelling, okay, we surrender. But it made sense. Like, you know, he threatened to throw him off the cage and the event ultimately did.
And to piggyback off of that, I think that like there's going to be a lot of people out there who are, you know, the AEW critics who are going to say like, man, like just like you kind of said, it was kind of an abrupt finish kind of out of nowhere. And you know, I understand that critique, but for me, you and I talked a lot about it going into this, and I posed that on our page on Twitter at AEW Dynamite DL. Yeah. It was how, like this match, the whole premise was focused on somebody quitting, right? either tapping out or surrendering. And when you have two huge factions like this, and you have two like 10 guys who are very like who have shown, I mean, we've seen how brutal the lead up to this match was
for sure.
It felt like something like this was going to happen. You and I talked about it. I felt like Jericho was going to be in the Sammy Guevara role tonight. I thought that Jericho was going to be as the leader of the godfather of the group. He was going to kind of like say, okay, enough and try to save somebody in his group from getting murdered. I should have known better. Jericho, as you always talk about it, he's a leader in and out of the ring. So of course he took the bump, he took the fall. He was the one who was sacrificed at the end. But I felt like that was the only way that AEW could really go in this one, right? To protect both teams. It felt like the natural finish was somebody was going to have to give up in order to try to save their teammate, their family from facing a massive bump or like something that could potentially end their career. True. And when you saw Jericho get thrown off the top of this cage through the ramp, it was an epic visual from as a fan standpoint. I mean, Jericho is not a spring chicken, bro. And to take that kind of bump, it genuinely as a fan makes you worry about his, you know, what he's gonna do. I mean, I know those people who were there live talked about getting stretchered out. People, you know, Jericho, the medical attention that he received after the event. All jokes aside, that's a huge bump and something that, you know, we had to tip our caps to is a man like that willing to take a risk for like that. And it also points off to like what MJF is willing to do. I mean, not only did MJF win the match through threatening to throw Jericho off the cage, but even after winning it, he still did that. And that shows what a despicable guy he is. And it makes us want to hate that son of a bitch even more. I felt like when you step back and you look at the finish, a lot of the things that we want are accomplished, right? You get to see the Pinnacle, who I felt like they're the new team. They're the top. They had to win this one. They're the new shiny toy, and they're fighting for that top spot, and they earned that tonight. They were protected, and they looked like $1 million in this match. But the Inner Circle put them through hell. Inner Circle, no, you could not say that the Inner Circle didn't look weak in this.
Never. And again,
Jericho as that leader took that huge move at the end that makes you respect him that much more. I mean, him turning babyface is a relatively new thing, and this is one of those things that I feel like cements him as that babyface, and it further cements MJF as the dastardly heel that is going to really be making people hate him for a long, long time. Oh,
I hate MJF so much, man. And he's so good at being bad, like I was saying in the comments, man. I just can't stand him. Oh, but the drizzling shits, as he knows, he gave us the double fingers for sure when we saw him at Dynamite Live. But, you know, I haven't really thought about this because I'm still trying to digest this whole match. But real quick, like, what do you see happening? Mm. Like, you know, I can imagine – I was texting you guys earlier, you and Bonds, booking by Bonds, cheers to him – that I think Jericho has to stay off TV for a little bit. And I think the rest of Inner Circle can show face. They can still maybe feud, have those little side feuds. And ultimately, Jericho makes another comeback to ultimately put, you know, stick MJF's head in a big pile of shit. If you know, I love Tony Schiavone on commentary because he says what he wants to say. And he said that. He goes, MJF is a no good piece of shit on commentary on live TV. And it was so great. I'm like, he's like, I wish he would fall off the cage head first or some things like that, man. His commentary towards MJF is so awesome, man. But I think, or I hope, Jericho stays off TV for a bit. Ultimately, then he'll come back and beat MJF. But I hope we continue to get these side feuds going and continue it where we don't have Inner Circle taken away off screen for a while. So that's where I hope I see it going.
I'm with you, brother. And I think that the writing's on the wall, right? I mean, like after a match like this, and I know, again, like controversial that – and we talked about it on Dynamite Download. It felt like Blood and Guts was the culmination of the feud, right? It felt like this was the blow-off match. But it's not. It's not going to be. That's the beauty of AEW is the long term. They're going to milk this, baby. Like
to the summer blockbuster.
I look at it as like, all right, like if you're into Marvel, right? This was the first one of like Age of All, like when you got to see the Infinity War.
I hope so, man.
You got to see Infinity War and it's split into two, right? Like I feel like you got to see this epic battle and it just – you think that if Inner Circle is just going to like, okay, we're done. Okay, all right, whatever. No, after what happened, they're going to want MJF, like they're going to want a pound of flesh from that man. After what they did to Jericho, they're going to want his head on a stick. So to me, the natural feuds coming out of this, all of us are chomping at the bit. We want to see Proud and Powerful. We want to see Santana Ortiz go against FTR. That match is going to be badass. That's going to be epic. There's so much that could come out of this feud, SPD, that it's going to continue from here. I agree with you that Jericho is going to be – I mean, I hope to see him sooner than later after what we saw tonight. That's going to be on all of our minds as to how he's doing and where he goes from here.
Yep.
But you know that MJF's not – like the promos that guy's going to cut after this match.
Oh, it's great.
He's going to be just jabbing them, like just twisting that knife in the side of the Inner Circle after tonight. He's going to just make their lives miserable after tonight. And you know, like he made sure to tell Jericho, thank you for the top spot.
Thank you.
And you know, to his credit, Jericho talked a lot about how no one was willing to do what they were willing to do as far as put like putting each other through pain.
Yeah.
And MJF proved at the end of the night that even though he's a coward, he has no problem inflicting pain on people that are in his crosshairs. That man is goal oriented, no doubt. He talked about it, gold, green and gold, baby. And anybody who's in his way for those two things, he's shown he's willing to do whatever it takes, whether it's be your friend and stab you in the back. Or in this instance, throw you off the top of a cage after the match.
All right.
MJF is willing to do whatever it takes in order to get what he wants. And that makes him makes him somebody that we hate, but it also makes him a very engaging personality in the grand scheme of AEW.
Jared, you're absolutely right, man. I mean, we could talk for hours on this, man. It just was a home run match, and this feud is pure gold. You can't even say how amazing the feud is. And, you know, like we got a full, you know, going into this, we all thought this was going to be the whole card. But then when they started announcing more stuff, we're like, holy cow, this is a pay-per-view quality card.
I know, man.
And then they started off Dynamite, you know, we're bringing things back with Kenny Omega and Nakazawa versus John and Eddie with that tag match. You know, I'll start things off with it, you know. I mean, this is nothing new. Everyone knows this. Don Callis is a genius. He's hilarious. He's so funny. You know, telling Kenny Omega's not here. He's going to take him on himself and all this stuff. And then with the sneak attack. I had to say, you know, I don't know. This star power in the ring is one thing. But to start, I kind of was like, I wasn't ready for the momentum. Like, I didn't think this had good pop to start the show personally, but then once the chop battle started coming, I was hooked, man. Any match with a good chop battle, I'm sold.
SPD's in.
We saw two good chop battles with this match and then with Cody and QT later
on. Oh, yeah, baby.
But, you know, this was you knew with Kenny Omega doing all the stuff he's been doing lately to John Moxley and Eddie, that Eddie and John needed to take a win, and they did, you know, walked out. But then they ultimately lost with the complete beatdown after the fact. I'm ready, man. You know, the Young Bucks are absolutely hilarious. Their stuff that they are doing, they look like complete jackasses, and they're just completely eating it up. He added a shell necklace this week, Matt Jackson. Of all things, you know, back to the 90s, the shell necklace, it's so great. And then barefoot loafers. Oh, my gosh, man. I didn't love this match personally overall. I don't think the pacing was as good, but the whole story with it is just great, man. This sub-feud of the main Inner Circle Pinnacle feud, I think that's the main feud AEW, this sub-feud is great, man. It's gold.
Yeah, the match was, I feel like this is one of those SPD where the match itself was sort of the back burner. It was just like, it was just the canvas for the greater story, right? This was really about the overarching story of John Moxley and Eddie Kingston continuing to be those like scrappy underdog everyman that we all root for, that continue to come just like get their hands on Kenny and the Elite, but then always find themselves like getting outnumbered with the numbers game of the Elite, and always kind of getting like that beat down. And we are left as fans just wanting to see them finally get their comeuppance against these guys, finally get their revenge, finally put that beating on the Elite that we all know is coming, if they're given that fair chance, right? If you see King, if you I mean honestly, dude, like you see Kingston and Moxley in the ring together, with what we've seen those guys are willing to do to themselves and their opponents, putting themselves through. I mean, John Moxley's career has been defined by pure violence. And Eddie Kingston is a dude who, as you continue to learn more and more about his story, this is a guy who loves this business, who will give everything to this business, a very, very genuine, raw human being who is driven by his passion, who has seen opportunity after opportunity like slip through his fingertips, and he doesn't want to let that go, right? So these are two guys that are incredibly hungry, that are incredibly, and at this point, you have to imagine incredibly angry, who are frothing at the mouth, waiting to get their hands on the Elite. And it's funny to see that this all kind of started with Kenny, and now through association by proxy, the Young Bucks are going to end up putting, they're going to end up having to put their title belts on the line against these two. And I have a feeling that, you know, they're going to regret this moment. I think that they're going to regret.
It'll be very interesting,
because the Bucks, man, I will say this. As much as I love what the Bucks are doing with their characters right now, I love the troll job that they're doing on social media, the new bio, the new pics. Yeah. I love what they're doing. And honestly, their gear, just like you know that it's making so many fans out there like just agitated that these guys are as obnoxious and that they're just trolling everybody like they are. As much
Next
as I
week,
love
I'm gonna wear a dangly.
You should.
I have my ears still pierced, so I'm going to wear a little dangly.
Throw a little dangly in there. Maybe a bandana. Maybe throw a little bandana.
More danglies down there, too.
Yeah, do some
I'll put danglies on the shades, bro.
as much of the character work that these guys are doing, and as much as I love that character work, I have to say, man, their in-ring work against Moxley and Kingston, that match is going to be so fun to watch, dude, because it's going to be like the ultimate babyface, those scrappy underdogs, really the brawler style of Moxley and Kingston against that like high spot, flippy, like over the top style of the Bucks. And I love that natural, I guess, dichotomy of styles. I love every time as a tag team wrestling fan, I love when you get to see those types of styles blending against each other. I loved when we got to see FTR versus the Bucks. I love when you have those differences in the way they approach a match and they're forced to kind of work with each other, I really think that this is going to be an awesome championship match going forward.
Right.
You know, and it plays off of this greater story of like the Bucks are now kind of tangled into this web thanks to Kenny, right? And Don Callis, the invisible hand and what he's doing. Like I just
true.
The post-match beatdown, though, I have to say that the Elite and the Young Bucks, they can't be feeling too worried, right? I mean, they've been asserting their dominance week after week, right?
Absolutely, man. They, as expected, true heel fashion, they're always going to come out and outnumber you and beat you down, no matter if they take a loss. So this could be just a running trend. You know, what's it going to take for, you know, it's not going to be a fair fight. Ultimately, when Moxley and Eddie do get the chance with the Young Bucks, it's not going to be a fair fight. And I want to see them take down, you know, the Good Brothers first and then Young Bucks.
Of course you do. Of course you want to see the Good Brothers taken down. Of course
you
do.
So everyone says no danglies for SPD, but they'll give them to you, Crayfish, since you're the heel of this group, man. So
I'll gladly rock it. I'll have this on. I'll start adapting all the heel vibes I can. And speaking of heel work, man.
Yeah,
like,
let's talk about this promo.
What a promo. Because, I mean, that story of that match with the tag match to start the show, again, it was just a continuation of Kenny the Cleaner, Kenny the Collector, Kenny the Showman. I love everything about Kenny Omega. I know that our guy Brian has to be out there just grinning ear to ear because this is his guy. He loves Kenny Omega, and he's been trying to showcase all the, like, the amazing character work to us throughout the years that Kenny Omega has been doing. And tonight's promo where, like, he literally – that felt like a roast of Orange Cassidy. Like, you know me, my first reaction, I had to rewind the promo a couple times because the first 45 seconds to a minute, I was just geeking out that Pac was going to get a title shot. I was just, I was so excited to hear Pac is going to go against Orange Cassidy that, like, wait a second, Pac versus Kenny Omega could possibly happen again, because that's like my dream match. I absolutely love that. I truly believe that those two are equals. Those two are peers. We've had conversations with Alex Reynolds and other members of the AEW roster who see what I see, and they recognize that Pac is in that top tier. He's in that Mount Rushmore of current wrestlers in all the world right now.
Mm-hmm. You're right,
to
man.
Me, I was geeking out about that, but honestly, dude, this feels like it's a matter of time. Orange Cassidy is going to be the number one contender, and he's going to face Kenny Omega. And if that's the case, man, does Orange Cassidy have a lot of fuel. For a guy who plays it cool and who's low-key, you have to know after that roast that he went through tonight, he's going to have a lot of fuel to want to take and shut Kenny Omega up, because, man, Kenny laid into him tonight, bro.
Did he ever? And honestly, it was outstanding just showing the promo work by Kenny Omega. We all know he's a true champion. He's overall, he's got it all times a million. I mean, just look at him. I mean, he's just, I loved him as a baby. I love him as a heel, man. He's so great. And I love in this persona of him, but this is making Orange Cassidy more relevant. You know, Orange Cassidy, honestly, to me, was just dropping down to at best a C-level star.
Ooh,
when he was an A-level star versus Chris Jericho, like, after that feud, where did he go? Honestly,
to be fair, I mean, the good, like, the best friends lost a lot when Trent got hurt, right? I mean, that whole thing happened, and I think that it kind of derailed where Orange Cassidy was going. But I honestly think that Orange Cassidy is one of those guys that is so over, and especially tonight, you get to see the hints of it.
Yeah.
When you have a live crowd, bro.
Oh, yeah.
We've
said that before. Best friends work so much better with live crowds.
Orange Cassidy and the best friends are one of those types of crews that when they have a live crowd, it's just another level. It just their characters click on a different gear when you have fans there to cheer them on. But dude, like, I don't know, man. Or OC is, as an outsider looking in, you're like, Orange Cassidy has to go one-on-one against Pac, who, if you're not watching Dark, you're not seeing what Pac's doing. Pac is absolutely ripping people apart. He is just like the angry bastard that I love. He is just going out there and hurting people, and he's doing it with just like this intensity in him that you can tell. He's ready. He's chomping at the bit for an opportunity after losing the tag title championship against the Young Bucks in such a BS way, right? Like they were robbed of those titles. You could tell Pac has that fire in him again. I love that. I love seeing that as a diehard Pac fanboy. I love seeing him operate that way. But if you're watching, Orange Cassidy's going to have to go through Pac, and then he's going to have to go against Kenny. I mean, again, SPD, you talked about Orange Cassidy kind of falling to the wayside. Bro, nothing is going to catapult you into the main event, the spotlight, quite like that trajectory. You get to go against two of the absolute best on the planet and two guys that are going to make sure that you bring your A game.
Yeah,
you're right. That it's going to be a showcase for OC, man.
It really is, and I can't picture Pac losing cleanly in this one because I don't think anyone should be beating Pac one-on-one right now, and I know that really gives you a big grin ear to ear. So I think best friends got to have something to do with it, which we typically don't see in AEW. You know, I really hope we don't see, you know, how do you book it? Because you can't have Pac losing a clean loss. And he's another one like Darby Allin. He's going to, if OC pulls out one of those roll up wins, I'll be very frustrating that he's been known to do before. So I really,
mousetrap.
It makes sense. Yeah. I would be so pissed at that. I can't stand the roll-up finishes. But anyways, it makes more sense. We kind of predicted this a few weeks ago of who would be next for Kenny Omega, and Orange Cassidy is a good babyface target, essentially, filler, you know, and Hangman wasn't ready or isn't ready. I think you need to build that much more, have a longer build, you know, going into Double or Nothing, you know, less than a month away. I don't think you have enough build for that, and it deserves a huge build. And we'll shift gears real quick and talking about huge builds. I think this deserved a huge build because
I'm going to sit back and just
there.
Smile.
You go, QT Marshall. You know, I think, you know, I'll be the first to admit, man, I wasn't huge on the Factory Nightmare feud to start. Now I'm all in. I think this could main event any event. These two teams or these two members versus each other, I am all in. You know, they showed, which I didn't know, that QT Marshall was undefeated in 2021 so far. Which is it's not surprising, but I didn't know that stat, which is great to hear. You know, you saw Cody Rhodes himself, no pyro, no glamorous entrance. And this match, man, I really enjoyed it, man. This should have been a Double or Nothing kind of match, personally. I think this is pay-per-view quality feud.
Oh,
pay-per-view
baby.
Quality
keep
guys.
Going.
Like,
keep going, baby.
You keep it, Crayfish Marshall over there. But
man, I love hearing you talk it up.
I did like this match, and it's the brutal, man. Cody once again took a brutal lash from the weight belt. He's gotten so many lashes in AEW. I mean, if we can keep count. Like I said earlier, this is another great chop battle. But QT Marshall, man, his body language and emotion in the ring, he's got so much confidence right now, and he's showing it. And he's really eating into this heel persona and character, and I love it, man. And you're right, man. You're right all along. And
I love
this like, turn by QT is everything he needed and then some, because it is him being the leader of the Factory. with guys like a Go-Go when they come out, and Camarado and Solo, man, this starting to be an unstoppable faction. I love it.
Isn't it obvious? I mean, just sitting back, isn't it obvious that he's he's a trainer? Isn't it just like when you watch QT in the ring, isn't it obvious that this dude, he by profession, trains other wrestlers to be good wrestlers? I mean, I get it. I get it. He doesn't have the look or maybe the charisma of a Kenny Omega or even in this case a Cody Rhodes, but like he doesn't have the pedigree that Cody has and
the butt cheeks as Cody Rhodes,
the pomp and circumstance of Cody Rhodes. But it's so nice to see a guy like QT, the everyman, the guy from Jersey, baby, coming out and getting that opportunity to just showcase what he can do and what makes wrestling great. And it's not just about, you know, if you could cut a promo, which, by the way, my man QT Marshall has been on an epic ride as far as talking the talk, man. The dude has been amazing on his interviews. Yep. Like that all his
two was
all his
road run. Two.
I mean, my favorite TV show of all time, The Sopranos. It gave me those goosebumps where he, like Tony Soprano talking to Dr. Melfi, you know, kind of having those private psychology sessions, just like those therapist sessions, really gave me vibes of that. And again, like I always love when the characters have motivations that make sense. And for QT Marshall to have to explain how he's been really presented as Cody's coffee bitch, right? A guy who goes and gets him his coffee, gets him his bags, kind of undercut from the day he entered AEW, really. I mean, and dude, you and I saw it. We were down there at Dynamite, you know, Cody had QT driving him to the hotel back then.
Yeah, we
right?
did see him. We saw
QT driving Cody to the private hotel and his little fancy, you know. And so you see, like, there's a lot of legitimacy to QT's motivations, and I love how he's leading this group of guys who are kind of tired. Like, they're not just going to sit back and let these hand-picked guys from Cody and the upper management team get their opportunities. No, they're going to take their own. They're going to showcase what they're made of. And I think no greater example of that is what happened at the end with Anthony Ogogo, dude. Like, this is a guy. Obviously, I was rooting for my guy QT to win tonight. I felt like it would have been an amazing match. But Cody coming back, the epic comeback that he had. We know what Cody's capable of. Cody is one of the top guys, not just in AEW, but all of professional wrestling. The guy can put on a great match. If he grabbed me in my bowling shirt, we could still put on a 4-star match. There's no doubt about it. Cody's just that guy.
Dude, that quadruple tombstone flipping thing was so well done. You know, it was so great, man. I thought I've never tried that or never plan on it, but it just seems so like you have to trust your partner and all that stuff, man. It was a really, really cool match. I don't want this feud to end, and I want to see another one of these matches. You know,
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear it. I mean, obviously,
and the shirt looks great on you, bro. Happy birthday!
Thank you. You know, I honestly look forward to rocking this a lot more in the future because this is a great look. And
it is a great look. I hope your Raphael red.
I like it. I'm really excited. This is my color, Raphael red. I love it. Let's get into it though, dude. Like the match itself. We got to see a lot of personal back and forth between these two guys. You got to see a little butt cheek action from QT. You got to see Cody pull out and he made QT tap, right? I mean, he mm-hmm. beat him with the figure four, which is a pretty convincing way to put QT down.
For sure.
But Anthony came in and all it took was one punch to the gut and Cody was down on the mat. I love that visual at the end with Anthony Ogogo draping.
He looks like a million bucks, man.
Draping the Union Jack flag over Cody. Mm-hmm. You know, this is another example. We talked about it earlier on with the Elite. We talked about the Elite and John Moxley thing. We talked a little bit about that with the Blood and Guts, with the Pinnacle and Inner Circle. This feud is not over. The Nightmare the Nightmare Family versus the Factory. This feud is not over. And I have a feeling that QT Soprano, this guy, he's not going to just take a loss like this laying down. I have a feeling that he's going to be – that Anthony, Nick Camarado, Aaron Solo, those guys are going to be coming after Cody and then some, especially after putting QT down for the first time in 2021.
I think it's going to start getting dirty. It's going to start getting even more personal. I think you might see the bus tip over. You might see, you know, so I don't know. You might take, you know, get personal for sure. So
I like
this is a pretty a good match. Like I said before, man, it could have been on a pay-per-view. It should have been on a pay-per-view. And QT Marshall is on a tear, man. Kind of a late addition to the card was that we were hearing from Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. And boy, did they ever cut an awesome promo, man, up at the top balcony, you know, section C of the Daily's place up at the corner. I really liked it, man. And I really like Scorpio's new swagger. It's really great. And these two guys really gel together. And Scorpio's line where he was like, "You overstayed your welcome, Sting. I'm the franchise now, bitch." Mm-hmm. Oof, man. Mm. But, and then of course, you know, this is starting to have me be more on the Darby train that you're already the conductor of, you know. I'm off the train. Choo-choo! But all it takes is a good heel.
I'm just going to say this, you know, I got you on FTR. I got you.
I don't know about
that. I got you on QT. And I'll get you. I know that you're the visionary of the group. I know that SPD is known for his bold predictions that usually come true. But Crayfish is leading the charge with some of these characters that are getting you on board, brother.
I know.
You're starting to see the light again, aren't you?
You are a little bit. The only reason it's because when it's a good, you have a good heel that someone you want crushed, you root for the other person almost no matter what as default. I still don't, I'm still not on the Darby train personally because, like, he's still the crash test dummy. They threw him down the freaking steps. Like, you know, but what we talked about, like we talked about last week, like you said, and I put it on our Instagram story yesterday, that we can't wait for Lance Archer to throw Ethan Page in his pink shirt to the moon. You know, so that's what I want to see. I don't want to see Darby triumph over Page. I want to see, you know, Page get squashed by Lance Archer. And so,
which is possible that could happen down the road. That absolutely could happen. But this promo by Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky, man, Ethan Page, you know, when we look at how he debuted in that ladder match, it's just one name of many in that ladder match. He came up short in that one. And then the next week he had his AEW Dynamite debut, kind of like where,
the sound in the background, the NBA defense.
This guy had gotten kind of piped from a debut perspective. True. But man, has he shown an ability to navigate that? I see a lot. Dude, Ethan Page, you know I like the heels. You know I gravitate towards them a lot.
Even though we are the home of positive coverage of AEW. But it's all in good fun. Being the heel, it takes two to tango.
Well, yes. You know when I'm at a crowd.
I'm the baby face. You're the heel, bro.
You know when I'm at a crowd in live event, I'm cheering for the bad guys. I love it.
Next gift is going to be a dangly, bro.
I can't wait. I'll rock it. I still have my ears pierced too, bro. Right. I'll have the long one.
I know you would rock the dangly.
I would be more than happy to.
Big Mark.
Ethan Page is really establishing himself as someone who I believe is a legitimate – title contender, and I love what we're seeing. His promo work is on point. I think that Ethan has shown his ability on the mic in a way that AEW can trust him to carry segments. And I've talked about this from day one at Dynamite Download. When you have stars like that, when you have an MJF, when you have a Britt Baker, and now in this instance you have an Ethan Page who week in week out, you can trust to hit it. I mean, he's always hitting home runs on the mic or these segments, dude. I think that he's proven, he's gotten under your skin as a fan. You want to see him get the comeuppance, and that's a great thing as a fan. It's only going to make the baby faces that much more compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And it says something that, you know, you're starting to come around to Darby now that he's kind of in the mix, right? Because he not only is he pulling on the physical stuff. I mean, you got to see him rubbing Darby's face into the studded shoes, that the Louis Vuitton spike studded shoes that he had tonight. But then tossing him down the steps tonight.
Jeez, brutal.
Ethan Page is not playing around, bro. I mean, I love what this guy can do. I love the ego's edge. I think that snarl and smirk. I think that Page has he's starting to check a lot of the boxes that make him feel like a real player on the AEW landscape. And when you pair him up with what we're seeing out of Scorpio Sky, and I know that you and I are on the same page with this, this is the best we've seen out of Scorpio in AEW. I mean, I know that you have always kind of been not the biggest SCU advocate. So having Scorpio break away from SCU and showing a little bit of this edge, showing a little bit of this arrogance and this cockiness and this demanding of his own spotlight. I really liked this segment. I thought everything about it was a home run. You know, whether it was, you know, Scorpio Sky running for it felt like a whole football field with the garbage can over his head, or Darby sneak attacking in the promo. I thought everything about it was great. A lot of great trash talk and a lot of physicality in this one. And it led into making us as fans wonder, is Darby going to be able to defend his belt next week? And that match is going to be potentially the biggest match of Darby's career, because he's going against Bonds's favorite member of the AEW roster, booking by Bonds. We know he's out there right now typing up his column and his reaction, and he's just beaming ear to ear, knowing that Miro is ready to destroy Darby Allin. And could you?
Yeah, man.
We've seen the David versus Goliath matchup with Darby time and time again.
I know.
But has he ever faced as terrifying of an athlete as he's about to face next week? I mean, this is going to be absolutely brutal to watch.
I mean, honestly, especially after the whooping he gave Kip, which is similar size to Darby, and how easily he manhandled him. I mean, we love Brian Cage. Yes, he's an outstanding performer, and he's an absolute beast. He's the machine. But the intensity from Miro is unmatched, really. And just like what he can, the intensity he can do in the ring is unmatched. So there's no way, there's absolutely no way Miro should be losing this match, period. Period.
Yep. I hear like, you, bro.
There's no, I mean, it's time. You know, it's time for to switch the gold. I know there's no build. I mean, obviously, Miro has been building, like saying, if you have gold, I'm coming for you. But it's time for him to get the gold. It is this whole, because Darby can easily segue into a feud.
He doesn't need the belt.
Right. You're right. And Miro with the belt just adds another layer of an already, you know, tiramisu amazing dessert of AEW that we're getting every single week. Seven-layer dip right there. And so that intense promo from Miro was simple, effective, and it's getting us excited for the match, and we're looking at the next TNT champ. I mean, there's absolutely no reason that Miro should be losing, no matter what, period.
I felt like, you know, Miro is more – I mean, to me, Miro is known – for over the course of his career for being that powerhouse, and Angry Miro is an amazing thing. But dude, that promo and that line about how the world is going to see what happens when the man who's willing to die goes against the man who's willing to kill him. I mean, that line that Miro just laid out, dude, that gave me chills. I'm not kidding.
It's
that
gave me one chills of those, hearing you say it again.
It was one of those lines where you're like, man, Miro delivered that with intensity. He looked scary. And to your point, after that attack from Ethan Page and Scorpio, after getting thrown down a flight of stairs at Daly's place, it's all the more reason to put the belt on Miro. It's all the more reason Darby can go into that matchup hurt. And Miro can really show game over. No more of these comebacks. We've talked about it over and over and over again. Darby's – his whole persona, everything about Darby's run has been characterized by getting beaten down, being facing these insurmountable odds, and somehow, some way, finding a way to overcome them. But how fitting and how powerful of a statement would it be for that to finally come to an end? You know, the ultimate underdog, the guy who has a never say die attitude, finally having his spirit and his body broken, almost like the Bane versus Batman visual, right? When we look at the Dark Knight Rises, you know, just the breaking of a man's body and his spirit. I think that could be a real powerful visual, and it could be one that can help fuel both characters, right? I mean, like Miro could use that dominant performance, and he needs like to really put him over the top as a Wrecking Crew, him have that moment. But for a guy like Darby to have him come back after the sneak attack that he went through and push a guy like Miro to his limit and come up short and lose in a heroic fashion, you know, it's only going to make the Darby fans want to root for him more when he comes back and tries and challenges again down the road and fights Ethan Page and fights these guys. It's going to want us to root for him even more. I think that is a segment that if you book it right, can help both characters catapult their careers even further. I don't think that, I mean, obviously I know TNT, AEW, everybody is on board and they're behind Darby as a champion. He's been great for ratings. A lot of people are behind Darby, but I think that you and I are both on the same page this guy is an enigma. He's a character that doesn't need the gold. And quite honestly, the way he wrestles, it's almost better if you separate him from a championship and you put the gold on somebody who's a little bit more of a dominant presence, don't you think?
I would book it as a Brody Lee squash to Cody Rhodes.
Wow, that convinced
Miro come out. Yes, this is exactly what you need. If you want to push Miro to the absolute Mars and beyond, you have a hurt Darby show up, a not 100%, and he just gets zero offense and just squashes him in 2 minutes and under and just done. And then Ethan Page and Scorpio come up, pick up the scraps, and Miro pushes them out of the way and leaves with the belt hanging high. Then you could have a couple feuds, you know, victims for Miro, and then maybe Lance Archer down the line.
I like where your head's at, man. I mean, who knows what they're going to do?
I think it needs to be a dominant just beatdown.
It would be really cool. I mean, you know, to have a title change happen on Dynamite, that would be exciting to see, and it would be something that would be, like, you know, kind of –
It has to be. TNT title needs to change on TNT, not on pay-per-view.
That's a great call by you. That's a good point.
But, yes, this is exciting. This is very exciting. It's what we need.
Talking about title changes and ones that I'm excited for, no greater title change has me – potential title change has me more excited than this one, bud. I am so geeked out. I get to fight – the writing is on the wall, brother. It was announced tonight, and did you hear the crowd reaction? I know Sharonica and all the fans live were geeking out. They were going nuts when they announced that DMD is finally going to get a chance. The DMD, baby, is going to get her shot against Sheeta at Double or Nothing. And the crowd was all fully behind that announcement tonight. I cannot wait to see that match at Double or Nothing with the crowd behind this match. I'm interested to see it because I know the DMD obviously loves herself some of herself. She's very much into herself. She very much has made a lot of people irritated with how she treated some of the baby faces on the roster and kind of especially with what she put Thunder Rosa through. True. But, bro – the AEW fan base, I know I'm not alone, man. The AEW fan base is all on board with the DMD becoming women's champion. It feels like it needs to happen, SPD.
We've been saying that for months.
I don't know what's going to happen to your boy Crayfish if she somehow loses that match against Sheeta. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be devastated.
You cannot. She's not going to lose, period. So we're not even going to talk about that, period. So she's not losing that match. It's just this was a perfect way to keep, like I've said time and time again, I'm very hard on the women's division. Not as much now, but early on in Dynamite Download, you know, when we started 33 weeks ago, cheers to that, 33 weeks of this every week, baby.
Yes, sir.
I was very hard on it because I wanted to succeed. And so now, and I was always hard on Sheeta's run just because she wasn't featured. And when was the last time we saw her on you know, Ty Conte, that match, which was great. She was a phenomenal match. Yeah. But every single week we're seeing DMD on TV. And so that's what I'm always hard on. I was like, you showcase your champ, showcase a consistent face that you want to build a division around. And someone like Britt Baker is a perfect person to build a division around. And so you have, we haven't seen a waiting room, but we've seen promo after promo. And then we saw a quick squash match with her just being completely dominant.
I honestly couldn't perfect. That's all we needed. Tweet out about this match before it was over. Right. Just absolutely. And again, it was a veteran who is at the top of her game going against a 19-year-old kid. And I thought it was a nice opportunity. Whenever you get in the ring with Britt, you know, it's a great it's a great opportunity. Right. But at the end of the day, we all knew that Britt was going to come out on top on this one. And rightfully so. Britt's been on fire, bro. Climbing those rankings to now that she's at the top of the rankings, she's going head-to-head with the champ. And yeah. Honestly, yeah, like, let's be real. Sheeta is somebody who I think her championship reign is going to be remembered in the history of AEW. She's the longest reigning champion in AEW and in AEW history. And, right. You know, Unfortunately, she hasn't defended the belt a lot. I think some of that is out of her control. I think COVID has impacted her title, her title reign. But all that said, bro, DMD is everything that you're looking for. AEW has a rare thing here. I'm telling you, man. Like I've seen it for months now, and I can't latch on to anything more confidence that I firmly stand behind. They will not regret having Britt be the women's champion. She is the face of that division. She represents the company. She represents the division perfectly well. She's somebody who could put out on you talked about, put her in on segments with promos, put her on the waiting room, have her have interviews with other people with the waiting room, she's already proven that she's willing to do matches on Dark, on Elevation, on Dynamite. The woman is committed. And she's quite honestly a huge draw. She's proven that not only is she great on the mic,
top t-shirt sales, as she said,
dude, not only is she phenomenal on the mic, but like we've seen it. That match, that unsanctioned lights out match against Thunder Rosa, man, dude, like that was one of the most badass matches in AEW history. We're talking blood and guts tonight, guys. Like we're talking blood and guts tonight, and you rewind to St. Patrick's Day and you watch that match. Nothing that these guys did tonight was more violent, was more gruesome, was more brutal than what Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa put themselves through. I mean, I still cringe thinking about the thumbtacks in that match, bro. So there's nothing that should stop Britt Baker from taking this belt. She's proven that she's willing to go through hell to be at the top. I'm firmly behind the DMD, and I truly believe that AEW has something special with her. I'm ready for them to put the belt on her, throw the gold on DMD, and watch her take this division to new heights.
And guarantee she's going to do that. Guarantee she'll take it to new heights, and it'll be it'll be great timing. It'll be absolutely perfect, man. Oh, cannot wait for that to happen. You know, we fought the last match of the night that we're going to talk about before we get into some other stuff is the four-way eliminator match, which is, you brought up a good point. I didn't even think of that. You know, the eliminator, if you did a eliminator match, I think it would have been like a 25-minute match. And they had to cut it short because I think that first segment went a little long with the Young Bucks and all that, but it was needed and all that. So, but SCU, Jurassic Express, Varsity Blondes, The Acclaim, these are your top four tag teams in a deep tag team division. And I've been, you know, it's fun because, you know, even like 2 months ago, none of these were ranked in the top five. None of these teams really. And then now you got a whole different wave of the top tag teams, which is fun to watch. I mean, it's nice to see Bowen's back, you know, after they announced, you know, he had a knee surgery. But I really enjoyed this match. You know, I'm still a huge Jurassic Express fan. I mean, never not was. I think that what they can do in the ring is some great stuff. It's a great blend of styles with Jungle Boy, who is at the top of his game, and Luchasaurus, which is some stuff he can do. And, you know, the Acclaimed, their walkout promo again was just pure fire. As man, always, dude. That's another one that you got me on the Acclaimed train, bro.
Hey, man.
You got me on.
I know. I'm proud to say it because, I mean, like, those guys, especially with Bowens being on the shelf after getting injured, it could have been one of those moments where they were off TV. And I love that AEW recognized, no, man, we're going to keep going with this. And they gave Platinum Max that opportunity to shine, dude. His promos, his raps have gotten better and better and better. This dude is killing it on the mic. His one tonight was absolutely fire. He was shredding people left and right. That diss against the Varsity Blondes about being on Dark Side of the Ring was one of those mic drop moments.
That cut deep.
I have a feeling that the Acclaimed will be in the tag title picture for a long time. They're gonna get those opportunities here and there, and they're not going anywhere, man. Those guys are as charismatic and as entertaining as it gets in the division.
Mm-hmm.
I know for you, you're a big Jurassic Express fan, and I know JR was probably rooting for Jungle Boy throughout this one to pull it off. But I felt like this was one of those matches where, kind of like what they did tonight, where I felt like AEW was they foreshadowed who was going to win, and it took away a little bit of the steam from this. You know, with the Pac and Orange Cassidy match, with that promo between Kenny and Orange Cassidy, it feels like, okay, it's going to happen. Orange Cassidy is going to win, and Orange Cassidy is going to be the challenger.
Right.
And I felt like this was kind of the similar. They did the similar thing with SCU, kind of pushing themselves as that number one contender against the Young Bucks, where this match kind of felt like it was unnecessary almost, where like we all felt like, to me anyway, I felt like SCU was established as the guys who were going to get a shot, and they came out on top again tonight, which was great, but it just kind of felt like one of those things where like I was already expecting SCU to get this match against the Bucks. I was already ready for it. I already kind of, after the promos that those guys had cut on each other, you know, I thought that was going to happen. So I wasn't surprised by the outcome of this one. I was surprised by how it happened with it. This was being advertised as an eliminator match, and then SCU just kind of coming out on top after the quick pin. But this was an example of, to me, and here's what I'll say.
Okay.
A lot of young talent in this ring, right? The Varsity Blondes, we love what we see out of the Varsity Blondes. A lot of upside.
I'm joining them as a trio soon, so.
I know that you got the hair, dude. You got it. The Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy, we've seen it time and again, whether it's a singles match or tag, that dude has a lot of upside. I know that you love Luchasaurus and sort of the – I know that he's not necessarily a spring chicken, but sort of his offense and how fun he is to watch.
Yep.
There's a lot of upside in this match, but Frankie Kazarian, bro, I was so impressed. Every time I see this guy go, even you know, we watched him against Christian Cage not long ago, this guy can hang with anybody, man. Like, this dude has cardio for days, bro. Like, for being a veteran, this guy looks, he looked every bit as, he looked like he had every much, like in the gas tank, just as much as a guy like Griff Garrison or Brian Pillman Jr. I mean, Frankie Kazarian can go. So I really enjoyed watching that. I do think that the writing is on the wall that, you know, SCU is going to go against the Bucks now. And, you know, you know me, I love my heels. I think, Phil, I've been saying it for weeks now, you know, what greater way to make us hate the Young Bucks even more than for them to put the SCU, the first ever AEW tag champions, you know, two legitimate Hall of Famers, legends in the business, to break up that team.
That's a great point.
It's going to be another feather in the cap for the Bucks, bro. They're going to be even bigger heels, even bigger jerks. And if they do it the way that we've been watching the Bucks wrestle lately with some dastardly tactics, I have a feeling it's going to make the fans even hate them even more.
That's a great point. Yeah. I mean, just another notch in the belt and then.
Right.
Whew,
right.
That's a really good point about that. And I think they will. I mean, ultimately, like I said earlier in the show, that the SCU promo was fantastic. I thought I'm getting back on the SCU bandwagon that I fell off a long time ago. I thought these guys were starting to get stale. But now, after the Kazarian Cage match, and then the promo against the Young Bucks, I really loved it, man. So that leads us into our top performers, and we'll talk about what match we're looking forward to the most next week. This show, man, I mean, it had to be a top performer from the main event. And so, you know, I hinted at it earlier, my top performer is Sammy Guevara. You know, huge. I've been, you know, during this kind of MJF Wardlow inner circle intertwine. I've said, like, we think Sammy Guevara has babyface written all over him, and the sky's the limit with him. The potential is through the roof with him. And so tonight, you know, starting things off and the stamina and the stuff he did in the ring, it just shows like how great he is, man. And he impressed me more than anybody in that match. And that's not a knock on anybody in that match who absolutely gave it all on the line. And that road to, you know, really hyped me up, man. I got chills listening to FTR, how they would, you know, this is going to knock years off people's careers and things like that. And so Sammy Guevara, home run, my top performer of the night for sure.
Really, in for somebody like I know you love those guys who the workhorses. You love the baby faces. Sammy did both tonight, man. Sammy was the first guy in the match and really felt like a guy who kept the pace up. This for a match that was, you know, an hour long, basically, it didn't ever feel like it was slow. It didn't ever feel like it was dragging. And true. A lot of that has to be, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to a guy like Sammy who kept that cardio going, who kept that pace going. So I got to give props to you on your pick. That said, to me, as much as I hate to admit this, this felt like the crowning moment for MJF. This was you know, leading up to this, there was
prairie dog of the drizzling shit moment for MJF.
The turtle head. This felt like, to me, right. Man, like you know, there was a lot of discussion about blood and guts and what this was going to mean in the landscape of the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle.
Right.
But at a deeper level, when you really dive further into the careers of these guys, FTR, they're well established. There's a lot of these guys are already well established men in the business. This felt like a real crowning moment for MJF. This felt like,
right.
He made it very clear he was coming for Jericho's spot. He's a mark for Jericho's spot. And he accomplished everything he set out to do tonight. Not only did his team come out on top, but he quite literally pushed Jericho off the top of the mountain and took his spot.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
And that visual, I mean, your picture here of him for the top performer.
I had to do that one. Yeah.
That visual to end the show of him standing on the top of the cage, drenched in blood, soaking in the boos from the live crowd.
We would be booing the shit out of him.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, this felt like a moment where MJF really, I mean, and this dude is a made man already. He's only 25 years old and we know his upside is through the roof, but this felt like one of those nights that will be very memorable in the landscape of this man's career. I think this is going to be one of those moments that really cements MJF that top tier dude in the landscape of AEW.
That is very, very well said about, you know, cementing his landscape. So that leads me to, like, next week, you know, what match of what's been announced so far are you looking forward to the most? You know, we won't review the whole card as well, but you know, if you can think of it, obviously we got the Young Bucks versus SCU. We got Darby versus Miro. We got Orange and Pac. I know there's a lot of people in there. Which one are you the most excited to see next week?
What do you think?
All right, let me throw it up.
What do you think? You said it, brother. You said it, man. Anytime we get a chance to see my favorite wrestler on the planet wrestle, I'm excited. I'm in. True. I'm 100% in this one. I can't wait. And we've already seen this match before, and it really, you know, there was a lot of credit given to Jericho for making Orange Cassidy legitimate, but I think that people forget Pac had a match with Orange Cassidy that really pushed him and showcased.
We were there together in Indianapolis just before the pandemic. We watched that. It was kind of a last-minute match added to the card, and we're like, what? This no build, and then it was like a show-stealing match.
Exactly right. And that's what Pac does. He puts on show stealing matches. So I, even though I'm bracing myself to be let down, just like I was prepping myself to, as a QT Marshall fan, I was prepping myself to be let down tonight. Even though I believe that Orange Cassidy will probably end up winning this match in some way, anytime I get a chance to see my favorite wrestler on the planet go, I'm geeked. I'm in. I'm 100% in. And that's saying something because we get to see Jade Cargill in action next week. I'm excited for Jade. We get to see, like you said, the Young Bucks defend their tag titles. Miro against Darby. We're going to see a potential changing of the guard for the TNT title. But
well,
for me,
that's what I'm looking forward to the most, man.
Get into it.
Is the Miro Darby. And like I said earlier in the segment, you know, I was just kind of thinking off the top of my head, I would book it as a complete one-sided squash whooping. Put that title around Miro's waist, push Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky out of the way just to kind of, because they're in his way to leave the ring. While Scorpio Sky and Page are, you know, beating down Darby even more after a whooping by Miro. And then he walks out with gold, man. And just, he's like, yep, I came, I saw, I conquered, and I'm out of here.
I love it. I think that you and I both have a lot to look forward to next week. You know, looking at the comments going on here, man, I love what Scoot's idea is as far as potential down the road with the Death Triangle getting involved in the main event scene. I like that. But to me, man, like, again, week in, week out, Dynamite always delivers, bro. I mean, this card next week is a follow-up to Blood and Guts, which, again,
it's tough one to follow.
You talked about it. This felt like a pay-per-view. AEW is not taking their foot off the gas, man. They are going full throttle. This next show is going to be an awesome one. Going to have a lot of great in-ring action and a lot of stuff that's, you know, again, you have two titles defended. You have the tag titles and the TNT titles defended next week. And in a lot of ways, a lot on the line in both those matches beyond just the match, like the belts themselves. So really excited about this. You also get to see the number one contender match, man. AEW is killing it on these shows, bro. I absolutely geeked to see next week's show.
I mean, as always, there's never a show I'm not excited for, man. And a show you guys should be excited for. It's back, baby, this Friday. Friday night.
Fights.
We are back live Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard. So please rejoin us. We are happy to hear you. On Friday, we're going to send out we're going to bring it back, our keyword of drinking, our little special word, like Pee Wee Herman, the word of the day in a way. We're going to get some great topics. We're definitely going to talk a little Blood and Guts and Jericho. No. So Friday night flights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard. It's always a great time. We love to have you guys join us this. But thank you guys for joining us. Hopefully this can it helped us wind down from such a heavy main event. Help you guys wind down a little bit. We love chatting with you in the chat and talking about all things AEW. And, you know, some things are on the horizon for the Dynamite Download team. So stay tuned for that. We're looking forward to it. And you guys have the great rest of the week. And we're going to see you guys on Friday night for Friday Night Flights, baby. Marshall.